Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
It's always a pleasure when you're joining us live worldwide on Close Up Radio Live. Jim Masters here. Thanks for joining us, making us a part of your day. We're very excited because we are welcoming to the first time for Close Up Radio in an exclusive two-part series, Angie Pettico of Waymakers. Angie is a certified professional life and recovery coach for Waymakers Center, which is an excellent faith-based life enhancement and addiction recovery service center. She says they understand you will not necessarily come out of a treatment center fully ready to integrate back into daily life, but as a recovery coach, she can offer recovery tools while guiding you through the process of developing healthy habits and excellent coping mechanisms. Working as a faith-based recovery program, you actually, as a result of it, become strengthened, encouraged, and will experience such profound self-love. By healing the hurt behind the habit, you begin to free yourself from the burden of addiction, find hope, and genuinely love life again. With the assistance of an amazing 12-step program and other recovery tools for dealing with shame, guilt, and loss, you actually find the strength to do life on life's terms. Angie says every single one of us can benefit from a program like this, whether it's food addictions, gambling, anger, grief, or some other issue that's happening. No matter what you're struggling with, it really is highly effective and life-changing when entering a program like this. And when you do enter the program, Angie says recovery becomes a way of life. The program works as long as you continue to work it. And where you begin to think you don't need it, well, that's when you actually need it the most. She says we must be mindful that every life is worth saving. You can live a more purposeful life with God and one another when you have a listening ear and are able to show empathy to those in need. Angie and I were just talking about all that live before we went on the air and going live, and it is so true. Listening and empathy and all of that is very important, and you'll get that from Angie and Waymakers. We're excited. Again, this is part one of a two-part series, so get ready to dive in with us, folks. I think this could be very beneficial and very helpful to you or perhaps somebody that you care about who could really use the wisdom of Angie and a conversation like this. Angie, welcome to Close Up Radio. It's a pleasure to have you with us today.
Jim, it's a pleasure to be here.
You are very, very welcome. You know, before we even dive in, I would love to know what are some of those things that pointed you in the direction, you know, a little bit about your background and how you were inspired to do this work. You know, we all realize sometimes as the clock ticks forward that there are things in life that we were meant to do, that we've been called to do, that are missions in life, that are legacy, that are things that are representative of the essence of who we are. And we discover those things if we're lucky, and then we live those things and share them with the world as you're doing. So what are some of the things in your life's journey that inspired you to initially even do this kind of work, which guides and helps others?
Well, I have been through a lot of different issues in my own life that I could have used a coach myself had I known what to do or I had the tools to be able to help me along the way. You know, I think about things that I could have made different choices or decisions or, you know, gotten further along in my life than this struggle. You know, there's points and times where we all get to this hopelessness state. You know, we go through things in our life where we experience that fight, flight, or freeze moments. And, you know, I was a struggling codependent. For 20 years, I battled codependence. And with codependence comes a lot of broken relationships with many different people in your life. And, you know, with broken relationships, you develop wounds. And how do you cope with wounds? You cope with wounds with all different ways. And for myself, it's just was trading, you know, one thing for another, whether it was smoking, alcohol, eating disorders, to workaholism, you name it. It's just been a struggle for me, you know, my early years. And I see my family go through a lot of that. Different people in my family had been affected by different addictions and things. And, you know, watching families be torn apart as I got older, you know, seeing friends as well in those situations, and hadn't really put a lot of thought into it until, you know, God put a burden on my heart about 3 or 4 years ago and led me to volunteer at this recovery home with these ladies. And it inspired me so much, and I was so drawn to the families that were healing, like healing the whole family unit, not just the individual. That's important, but, you know, families go through hurt too, and they've all got to learn how to heal together and be able to receive each other, you know, once someone is into recovery and they've stepped out of their addiction, learning how to communicate and how to relate. And that was just a passion that grew within me. I had been in a banking career for 15 years, and, you know, one day God said, it's time to go. It's time to go do this. And so from that experience, I met my partners, and there were four of us ladies, and we were all being led in a different direction, but when it all came together, it made this center, which became Waymaker Center, and offered many different areas of service for the different things that we were all burdened about. And it has just been a life-changing experience for all of us. It's like we continue to grow as they grow. Sometimes I don't know if we're there more for them or they're our clients are there for us. You know, we all grow together.
Right.
And so that's kind of what led me to this place.
Mm, that's fantastic. That's a beautiful journey that's led you to Waymakers. Let's talk about it. It's faith-based, which is wonderful. And when Waymakers, you know, was formed, what do you think the vision and the mission was for it? And tell us about some of the extraordinary work you do.
The way we like to describe what we do is it's kind of like when people are in recovery homes and, you know, whether they've been there a short-term program, a long-term program, when they get out, they still got to be able to do life. And a lot of times, you know, we burn our bridges as we've went through, you know, our addictions and hang-ups and things like that. We've got to mend fences with family. And one of the things that we learn in recovery most is that we have to change people, places, and things. We have to; those are our triggers to go back to our addictions. So Waymakers, if I could describe it in any way, it's just people in a place doing things that help promote growth in life, remaining in recovery. You know, whether people are coming out of addictions, incarcerations, whether it's homelessness, and it's not all just addiction based. It may be people dealing with grief or just loss of joy in their life. Whether it's, you know, life coaching, trying to find, you know, what they are passionate about in their careers, or maybe they're in codependent relationships themselves and, you know, just don't even know how to embrace a healthy relationship. There's just so many areas, whether it's, you know, learning how to budget and so that our money's not controlling us, you know, rather we're in charge of it. We just try to meet people where they're at when they come in and excel them forward, just move people forward in their life, whatever it is that they're trying to accomplish or they're trying to overcome some kind of hurdle in their life. So I like to refer to it as the recovery homes or the homeless shelters or things like that is the hospital, and we're like the physical therapy, the aftercare kind of thing. We have 12-step programs. We have different kinds of classes and meetings where people can come and take part in for where they're at in their life, and those go on all week. We do individual coaching, one-on-one with people. We've got one coach that, I mean, if it's their first time going to buy their car, she may go with them just for the moral support, or, you know, helping them find jobs, or trying to find housing, affordable housing, and kind of being an accountability layer, just a checkpoint. I know one time we had one person that we were working with, and he wanted 24 hours clean so bad and had tried it on his own so bad. So he brought his old Nintendo up, and we hooked it up to the TV, and we took turns playing games all day until he could get his 24 hours clean. And it's just people and places doing things. And, you know, Waymakers is a building, and it's a center, but there are so many other people in the community that I have watched jump in and meet the needs of the people that we're trying to help in ways that we can't, whether it was car repairs or it was transportation or it was helping them furnish their first apartment that they're actually getting to move into now, or whether it was food or clothing, so many different things that people in the community have become. It's kind of like a movement, you know. Waymakers is bigger than just the four of us, because the people in the area are so eager to help people get their lives back on track that Waymakers extends out into the community.
Which is a beautiful thing, right? Exactly. Maybe you can. We mentioned the faith-based component, which is very important, and that adds a different dynamic and dimension to it all, doesn't it?
Absolutely. We firmly believe that we cannot heal without God, and we see people get so far in recovery. We watch people that are growing, and you can stay clean and you can try to stay on track, but to live soberly with a sober mind is different. And when we include our faith in our healing and we allow God to heal those wounds that cause us to go back to these, you know, these old hang-ups, these old hurts, is a complete game changer. And so all of our programs, everything that we do, is centered around God and our faith, because that's just what works.
And that's the key, what works. You know, I mentioned addiction recovery coach earlier on. Tell us about your definition of the work of an addiction recovery coach.
So in addiction recovery coaching, it doesn't really matter the addiction, the substance or the habit, whether, like you had mentioned earlier, whether it's eating, it's gambling, it's a substance, it's alcoholism, whatever it may be, addictions come in all kinds. I even have people, and I myself am one of those people, that are addicted to making lists to function in life to the point that it cripples them and they can't get anything done. And so if we all look, we could probably identify something that we are all addicted to in this world. And being able to learn how not to depend on that is what recovery coaching is all about. And so we go through a process of a 12-step program. It's a faith-based 12-step program that we work one-on-one with people. And then we also incorporate additional tools when people are struggling, you know, with certain aspects or areas. Maybe it's struggling with overcoming guilt or shame, even though, you know, I've identified it, I've mentioned it, I'm acknowledging it by telling you and sharing it, I've give it to God, but I still can't seem to forgive myself. We go through tools to help with that. We go through tools that help with sometimes the reason that we're in addictions in the first place is because of grief, and maybe it's grief from the loss of something. Not everything is just loss pertaining to death. We grieve a lot of things. We grieve opportunities that we lost, or financial positions that we lost, or jobs that we lost, or relationships that we lost. We grieve a lot of things, and that plays into recovery many times. So there's an array of tools that get incorporated in recovery coaching along with a 12-step program. And the 12-step program is not something that you just do and you've completed and you're done. The 12-step program is something that becomes your way of life. It becomes your go-to. It's the thing that you do in order to stay recovered and to keep the slate clean so that these things don't build up over time. You know, undoubtedly, we can go through and heal a lot of our wounds and our hurts that, you know, are from the past, but life goes on, right? So we still encounter things on a day-to-day basis, whether it's on our jobs, whether it's with friends or, you know, in our relationships or even from our kids or our parents, loved ones, whatever that may be, we encounter new hurts. And in order for those new hurts not to turn into hang-ups and habits from the past, the program works if you work through it, if you continue to work it, because it always keeps that clean and putting that in the proper places in our life where it needs to go before it can turn into hang-ups and habits and before we start hurting other people with it.
That's right, exactly. You sort of nip it in the bud prior. Let's give some examples of that if we can. Why do you feel people need an addiction recovery coach? You and I were chatting before we went live on the air that a lot of times people will just try to deal with things on their own. They'll retreat, they won't reach out, and they'll use things or they'll develop habits which will sort of maybe temporarily ease or numb or lessen whatever it is that they're dealing with, but it's really just sort of numbing and masking the actual underlying cause. It's like treating the symptom but not the cause that's creating the symptom. Are those some of the things that would point people in the direction as well of an addiction recovery coach? And what are some others?
Absolutely. A lot of people don't reach out for many reasons. Some don't because of shame or guilt. Some don't because they're just not 100% ready to let go of those things. Some won't reach out because they just don't really want to face the hurts behind the addictions. One-on-one recovery coaching is excellent to get down on a personal level. You know, we all meet in groups and 12-step meetings and things like that, but not everyone feels comfortable enough to share in a room. And so a coach helps you to be able to have a safe place to do that, where it becomes more tailored to you and where you're at, and you can share all of those things. It's kind of like having a sponsor. You meet with your recovery coach once a week, usually spend an hour, hour and a half together, going through where you're at, what you're struggling with, and the program moving you forward. When people try to, just like you said, treat the addiction itself but not the hurt behind it and try to self-manage, they can get to a place where they feel alone and very isolated. And recovering, it's a movement right now, Recover Out Loud. And Recover Out Loud is so big and so important because the recovery testimonies of so many people inspire those that do feel at that state of hopelessness right now. And they feel like, I just don't feel like I can ever overcome this. But when they hear the testimonies and the stories and they can relate to people who are experiencing or have experienced the same things that they currently experience or feel, it's peer-to-peer learning. Peer-to-peer experiences and sharing those things. So we celebrate recovery. We celebrate the milestones. We have kind of become just a tight-knit family, so to speak, where when one's down, to 10 people are going to, you know, be calling and checking up on them and going by, are you okay, you know, trying to help people to stay out of those trenches that got them there in the first place. And everybody needs that. We like to sometimes think we don't, or I can do better on my own. But when they come and when they get a taste of it, of that support system and that community that's full of the healing properties of love and empathy, understanding and kindness, those things that you and I were previously talking about, mm-hmm. You can find that in that room, and it is so healing within itself. And it also gives us a layer of accountability, a layer of a checkpoint. It's a non-judgmental zone that we can just be. We can be open. We can share, and know that there's no judgments, because we all find ourselves in that space.
Exactly right, and that's so essential to realize and to understand going forward. Do we need to take as well the stigma out of coaching in order to move forward?
I totally agree with that. I'll give you an example. We have a center that is maybe 10 minutes from us, and they work so well with our folks. They have therapists and counselors there to help with those traumas and those wounds and med management and things like that. And, you know, they have their regular scheduled appointments there. When you have a coach that's willing to work alongside with their counselors, their therapists, and trying to keep everybody, you know, on the same pace, we're there for the day-to-day stuff. We're there for let's do life together. Coaching, that's what kind of coaching is about, is let's do life together and, you know, help each other along the way. Where you're at, where you need to go, and how do you get there? It's setting goals that are attainable and then setting people up for success to be able to achieve those goals. We offer things as well, such as like parenting classes and just every area that could pertain to the whole family unit. But when we're working with the other facilities, such as like the therapists and the counselors, like I was telling you about, it works really, really well. It's just like a team effort to move people forward. And that's basically what coaches do. I mean, if you look at I play basketball, so I identify with that, but my coach taught me how to run plays, put me through drills to strengthen me, had me run laps, you know, when I didn't want to for stamina and, you know, to be able to weather the whole game. If you had to play the whole game, the coach is always there to guide you. And, you know, you have to study game tape, right, to be able to see your opponents. And your opponent in this case is your addiction or your hang-up, your habit, your hurt. So you got to look at them because you got to know where they attack you. What are your trigger points? Those sort of things. A coach can help you identify, hey, I'm watching you. I see this kind of creeping up. I just want to make you aware, because we can easily step into denial about where we're at ourselves. But a coach, when you build that kind of relationship with them, they can help you stay on track with that. And help you identify those things as they see them resurfacing so you can catch them early.
Very important. That's crucial what you just said, right? And that's important for people to realize and for them to understand and to apply to their own lives, which I think is fantastic. Obviously, addiction impacts families, and it does it deeply, whether it's the person that is going through the addiction or those who are on the sidelines watching or those who are actively participating trying to help and guide the person along. Can you give us some examples of how addiction does actually truly impact families and friends and work and your whole life?
Addiction does impact the whole family unit in such deep ways. A lot of times family members feel like that they can rescue their loved one, and if they love them enough and they rescue them enough, they can pull them out of this addiction, and it's just not successful generally. That tough love is very hard for family members to have. It's hard to step back and watch your loved one hit that rock bottom that will, you know, be the beginning of them being able to climb back out. Communication breaks down. There's a lack of understanding. I think the thing that I have seen the most that's helped families is when they become aware of the neuroscience of the brain, when chemicals have been a part of that makeup in that brain at this point, is being able to understand, oh, I watch families like, no wonder, like I'm telling them to do this, or I can't understand why they won't, you know, get this job or hold this down, or they tell me that they can't do this or that, and I don't understand that. And it builds this impatience and bickering and this breakdown of communication. But when a family comes together and they learn about the addiction and they learn about how, you know, the steps that their loved one's going to have to go through in order to become strong enough to handle the things that they feel like they should handle at this point, create such empathy between the two, and it actually opens up communication, because a lot of times family members are so hurt that they're ready to be understood. They're ready for that change. It's like, now it's my time. I want you to be what I'm expecting you to be. And it's not that that their addicted loved one doesn't want to be those things. They want that more than anything most of the time. They just can't get there as easily as somebody who hasn't been in active substance use addiction. And when both sides of the fence know and understand that and are working toward a common goal, families can be the biggest support for that addicted loved one going forward in their recovery if they just know how to. And so to watch people grow and knowledge and learning about one another and how to communicate, learning about their family member that's in recovery, learning their triggers, helping them to be able that they can just have a place that they can openly come and communicate with them and say, here's my car keys. I'm feeling a little triggered right now. Could you hold these keys? Don't let me have them if I ask you back for them tonight. Families could be the biggest support system. They just need to know how, like any of us. We don't just automatically know how to do things in life until we're shown. And that has been the biggest change in watching families come together.
So important. Yeah, this is all crucial information on many different levels. Got just about maybe 2 minutes left, and you'll be back for part two coming up on August 9th at noon Eastern. So we encourage folks to stay tuned for that as you continue. And on that, we'll be able to really delve into the 12-step program and the work that is being done via the 12-step program. The other members of your team, tell us about some of the other members of the team.
I would love to. We have a fantastic team. Carolyn Smith, she is actually a Zig Ziglar legacy trainer, and she's been through all of those courses, stays in close contact with them. She is phenomenal at getting people jobs, helping them stay accountable. She is always for the underdog, the person who's trying to fight for their way out, and she is such a motivator and encourager to promote them to be all they can be and go to that next level. Heather Kemp, she is a recovery coach that is amazing. She's full of life, full of energy, and full of so much empathy. A true prayer warrior, I tell you that. You want her in your corner. And then we have Wanda Carr. She has a passion for kids and the parenting aspect of things. And just a great resource. The teenagers, they loved her, you know, how she responds to them. So we have a lot of fun together. I am so fortunate to get to go to work with these ladies every day, to be able to watch what God does in that place in the lives of other people. It's just a true blessing, and I'm so blessed to have the team that we do.
It's extraordinary. And the fact that you are able to just share that in such a loving and empathetic and incredible way just really confirms that you're doing work that you were meant to do and you were destined to do. I encourage folks to make contact. Angie is very affable. Angie Petico is the Certified Professional Life and Recovery Coach with Waymaker Center, which is an excellent faith-based life enhancement and addiction recovery service center. I encourage you to reach out. You go to the website Way, that's spelled W-A-Y, waymakersonline.com, waymakersonline.com. And the name, of course, love it, because you'll find a way and make a way and be shown a way and live a new way. And waymakersonline.com is the website, and Angie and the team can help you or anybody else that you think really benefit from their work and their services. Angie will be back for part two coming up next week. And I am your host, Jim Masters, thanking you for your time this time to next time. And Angie, thank you for joining us on part one of the series here on Close Up Radio. Thoroughly enjoyed this conversation, and I hope you did as well.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
You're very welcome. Keep up the extraordinary work, and we'll look forward to part two of the series coming up. Once again, Jim Masters here, gang. Thank you for joining us on Close Up Radio, inviting you to stay right here. We'll be back momentarily with another fascinating guest just for you on Close Up Radio. Until then, for all of us, have a great day, and bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television, Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.